I'm doing the overview with international, national and international mission. Leo will talk about our community mission, and Diana will talk about the Hack Memorial. Today, the theme is honoring women's spirituality, struggle, and survival. Now, there's a framework to women's work in the Presbyterian Church. And believe it or not, it started in the 1500s with the Reformation. Thank you, Martin Luther. Thank you, John Calvin. We started the Presbyterian Church with John Calvin. And we could say in Latin, Ecclesia Reformata, Semper Reformata. Translation, the church reformed, always reforming. Now, David reminded me when we were chatting about the structure of the Reformation and church that one of the Canterbury Tales characters was a presbyter, and he thought he was going to go to heaven because that's predestination, and that's one of the things that supposedly Presbyterians at once believed, but we have reformed and we do not always believe that. Okay, now I remember saying something to my father about that because a friend of mine said, well, and she was Methodist, said, well, you Presbyterians believe you're always going to go to heaven. And I went home to my dad and said, what's going on with this? I don't get it. He said, well, that's predestination, and we don't believe that anymore. But he said, you know what? Everyone is predestined for death, and what you and St. Peter do is up to you. So I guess I got the word there. Get going, bro. So we are always reforming. We're always changing, and we've seen that in the last 20 years. We are reforming how we believe and how we treat people in our church. We are always, all of us are equal in this denomination. That's the elders' part. We're equal. We make decisions about what our church is going to do. Now, that's why we have so many committees and so many meetings that it takes so long to decide, but we get it decided. In this beautiful church, and we come here every Sunday to meet, unless, you know, we're too ill. This is where we decide, who am I? What is my purpose? And when our nation was expanding in the 1820s, Presbyterians went all over the nation in whatever they could do. Presbyterian women came into existence as part of our church, 1820. We did mission work then in our community, our nation, and our world. During the Civil War, even though our church was divided into the North and the South, and we lived in the South when in 1988 they came together again, and I said to David, you mean it took 120 years for us to heal the Civil War? I mean, it did. That's everybody voting and deciding to do things. In the 1930s, the definition of mission and went from missionaries, preachers, and teachers in foreign lands to being active in our own communities. So that kind of spread everything like what we're talking about Presbyterian women today. And in the 1930s, women could become elders in the church, finally. We got to vote in the 1920s, and then in the 1930s, we got to be part of the Presbyterian church and make decisions for it. We bring people together. Peace became a mission after World War II, in foreign lands like Japan, the Philippines, Germany. Peace became a mission. In our third century, ladies and gentlemen of the Presbyterian Church, we Presbyterian women have been active for, we're beginning our third century. We have a full voice in the moderator of the Presbyterian women in General Assembly. Our PW missions support 200 plus different missions every year with hundreds of thousands of dollars. In 1888, the thank offering started and continues, and in 1922, the birthday offering started and continues. And let me give you a couple of things we do with these. Social assistance to disabled families and children in Russia, $100,000. That's Presbyterian women. Gap Ministries in Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, $135,000. That gives space to people who need a safe place to go. Community Presbyterian Child Learning Center in Payson, Arizona, $75,000. Liberty Community Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, 75,000, had a healing space. Those are the kinds of things Presbyterian women give nationally and internationally. We advocate for women's health, children's health, well-being, schools, daycare, food, clothing, and medicine. The right to fair pay. Anybody ever thought about that? The right to fair pay, no matter your gender or your race. We advocate for that. Justice for all people, no matter gender or race. When I was at the gathering a couple of years ago, this woman from Texas, their church was a safety place for people coming over. And she cut short her gathering to go back and help with that. That's interesting. I didn't know that anybody did that, so they do. Racial healing and reconciliation. We still are working on that in the United States. And Bible study. Presbyterian women, had a seat on the Commission on Women's Issues at the United Nations. That's just come in the last couple of years. Hey, the seat's still open for a volunteer. You have to have the wherewithal to be able to travel to New York, live there, and then you can do that. And tell me if you want to do this, and I will give you the email for the gal, because it's still an open position. I'm not kidding. If you want to do this for the women of the world, and we got to do this because of our overall mission worldwide since 1820s. That's one of the things. And the fact that we're the way everyone is equal in the Presbyterian Church, the way we do our business. We believe everyone is a child of God. Presbyterian women exist today because women are adaptable, determined, proactive, charitable, generous, and dedicated to God, no matter where we live. Who are you? Well, if you're a female, you're a Presbyterian woman. What is your purpose? Making the world a better place to live.
Well, from a global perspective, let's look at what Presbyterian women do locally with their missions. There's numerous opportunities for we Presbyterian women to participate. And I kind of feel almost hypocritical because I don't get to participate in many of those activities simply because I'm still fully employed. However, I still get to do little bit parts. And any part that happens is all a part of our mission. So what I want to do is I want to list some things that Presbyterian women do. And no matter how big or how small this act is, it's still a part of our Presbyterian women mission. So one of the first things I want to talk about, and one of the first things I want to sign up for when I retire, is the reading. There are women that now go into the school system, and the teachers handpick students, usually in the first and second grades, who need help with their reading. So these women sit down with these children, help them, and not only help them with reading, but also help them with their self-esteem. Reading is a skill that you need through your entire life. And if you don't have reading, you're at a disadvantage at no matter what you attempt to do with your life. I know there are people who cannot read, and they've been successful. But this gives these kids a step up. So that benefits the child. It benefits the teacher. It benefits the person who's the reader. There was an example that was given to me where there was a young child, a little boy, and they had been reading, and he was getting more and more successful. And he went to his reader, he hugged her around the knees and said, "I wish you were my grandma." So there's benefits, no matter how you look at this reading program, there's benefits all the way around. So that's one of the things that our Presbyterian women do is the reading program. Then we have another one that you may think, but it's diapers and wipes and baby food. And we have also been informed that there are adults who need those kinds of things too, not necessarily the baby food, but the diapers, the adult diapers. And through the Beacon then, we have set up a method for us to bring our diapers, wipes, baby food, adult diapers to the church. They're transported to the Beacon, and then the Beacon distributes those to those in need. So that's another mission. Some of our women are involved with Next Steps, and there's a couple of ways for our women to be involved with that. They meet every Monday from 5 to 7, and this program helps these people in many, many ways to become better in their lives, in their families, in their, for work purposes. All of those kinds of things play into this. So every Monday from 5 to 7, these people meet, and some of our Presbyterian women have become mentors for these people. It's a matter of helping them fill out an application because many don't know how to do that. It is a way for people to find work and good work. There's two businesses in our community that allow and hire people who have records in their past. Keys is one of them. So those people get a chance, an opportunity to be very successful in their lives, improves their self-esteem, gives them that opportunity to provide adequately for their families. There's a second way that we have that we can help with the next steps. Different churches take child care responsibilities. For a lot of those people who attend these sessions, hiring a babysitter is out of the question. They don't have the funds to be able to do that. So different churches take those Mondays to provide child care. Our church takes the second Monday of the month, and it involves activities for the kids, and it gives them an opportunity to play, learn more social skills, become more adept at playing with one another and learning more about each other. Deb McCoy is the ramrod for that, and so if you're willing, who are you pointing?
Jackie.
Okay, those two people you can contact if you're willing to help on the second Monday of the month. Furniture distribution, that sounds kind of funny for the Presbyterian Church, but it has become a fact for us. It is a mission. And although they're not here, Kevin and Michelle Lyon basically did the lion's share of it. And it's mushroomed and it's expanded to our congregation. Several of you have donated furniture, beds, dressers, end tables, tables and chairs. Those kinds of things are stored in our, and they don't ordinarily stay in our van garage very long, but that's where they're stored. So if you have things that you want to donate, call the church office. We have a process to get those picked up. We also have a process in place to deliver. So if you are interested in helping with that, whether you have a trailer or a truck, whether you can do some smaller things, move some smaller things, let the church office know. Those people that receive the furniture are kind of, they're screened and they're sent to us from Beacon through Care Portal, the Department of Infants and Children, and even our housing authority has gotten involved in it. So this is becoming a bigger mission for our church. Just notify Cindy if you can help with that. Presbyterian women do things locally. Most would tell you, it's not a big deal. But if you are ill and you receive a phone call or a visit or a scrumptious bowl of soup or a meal, you've been blessed by a Presbyterian woman. If you've received a ride to the grocery store, to the doctor's office, to an appointment of any kind, you've been blessed by a Presbyterian woman. When you receive a card for your birthday or a special event like Valentine's Day, you've been blessed. And if you've ever lost a loved one, and a Presbyterian woman comes to you with open arms, a hug, a shoulder, tissues, paper goods, food, and continued support, you're blessed. They provide delicious treats and yummies for our after-church fellowship in the parlor. They teach and help support. Denise Needham works with our church school kids, and several of you help her as well with lessons, with activities, those kinds of things. Youth groups, you're involved in that. Sunday school for adults, we don't call it Sunday school anymore, but in my head it's still Sunday school. You're involved in that as well. Some sing in the choir, offering their trained voices, and some of us just have joyful noises, but we still sing in the choir. And even though that doesn't seem like a big thing, it's still important to our church. We provide childcare, moments during the church for our children, artwork for our enrichment downstairs in that basement. There's one particular woman who's very involved in that. We serve as elders and deacons. We usher, we collect offering, we serve communion, we prepare food for our always abundant meals after church. We go to conferences to learn more, we provide Bible study, and the list goes on and on. Every Presbyterian woman has a gift that she willingly and lovingly shares. What some people might consider as small is really big in God's eyes. So hats off to Presbyterian women. So here's a proper hug.
While our other two ladies have spoken to a very broad picture, my picture that I'm going to highlight for you now is very narrow. I want to, if you're not aware of the Hack Memorial Fund, you will be after today. I currently serve on that committee with Alicia Martin and Susan Marbury, and we all three take that responsibility very seriously. I think at times it feels like a heavy, heavy responsibility. But let me tell you what this is about. This is about one Presbyterian woman who had a vision back when I was a mere toddler, and in her will, she, Mamie Hack Crutchfield, lived in Dallas, Texas. She established a trust that she wanted to be known as the Eugenia Margaretha and Grace Vivian Hack Memorial Fund. From that charitable trust, she wants it to live on forever by us using the interest that comes yearly to the Presbyterian Church. That interest then is entrusted to our committee to use for the benefit of the sick and needy of Fort Scott. In general, Mrs. Crutchfield wanted the Memorial Fund to assist those who are experiencing unexpected hardships. When she died in 1955, she made only one request, and that was that we would place flowers at the graves on Memorial Day and at Christmas. And we do that lovingly and willingly and with a lot of gratitude, I can tell you. While most of what Presbyterian women do to serve our fellow men has to do with our time and our hands, there are some things that have to be done with money. And through Mamie's foresight, we have some money that we can do that with. We work largely in conjunction with the Beacon. As you can imagine, the needs in our community are extremely great. And it would be a full-time job for any one of us on the committee, or possibly all three of us, to screen all of the requests that come through. So thankfully, the Beacon does that screening for us. We, in the last year, assisted 161 families with help with utility bills or rent or their rental deposits, with transportation needs, and with dental bills. We also give the Beacon $200 a month just for a contingency fund so that they have some money on hand for things that happen on the spur of the moment. We've made contributions to community organizations, Bags of Love, that provide little bags for those kids going into foster care so that they have things that are their own. We've also assisted with Next Step contributions. While the Beacon does all of the screening for us, it doesn't necessarily have to go through the Beacon. If you people, I'm going to enlist you to help us, if you know of families that fit into this category of need because of something unexpected, please let Jared know or any one of the committee members know so that we can assist with that. We're doing our best to utilize all those funds as faithfully as we can and to be good stewards of that fund. And I think you'll all join me with a prayer of gratitude toward this family who, oh, by the way, owned the Fort Scott Greenhouse at one point in time. So maybe the Fort Scott Greenhouse is kind of the basis for our funds. Yeah, we give thanks for all of that.